Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics. Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Fred Schenkelberg.
And this is Enrico Belmonte.
Hey, Enrico. Hey, I got a quick question for you based on a little bit of what we talked about the topic for today. How did you discover or first run across Sendo Reliability?
Yeah, that's a good question, Fred. I need to think a little bit about it, but I think it was like that. I was looking for experts to extend my networking. You know, mm-hmm. At that time I was leaving the previous company where I was, and then moving to the next one, and I felt like I need to enhance my networking going to externals. And the first, we'll say, the most relevant website I met that time was centerreliability.com. Mm-hmm. And you remember I contacted you, it was like, I think, 4 years ago.
Yeah.
I contacted you and you were really welcoming me and say, hey, you can contribute to that. It was, since then, it was a great experience for me. But, you know, it was pretty rare to find a website with so many contents, but also with people like you that are happy to share their knowledge. So it's still a great website, I think.
Well, yeah, no, I hope so. It's continues to grow, and we keep adding folks to it. And I should probably go off air and remind you that I'm still looking for your next article to get posted. But I know
you're
you've been
right. It's quite a long time. Yeah,
yeah, you know, just a little nudge there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a so it was probably through a search, or were you on LinkedIn?
Yeah, it was either on LinkedIn or on Google. But you know, I used the I also used to be more present on LinkedIn, and I've seen the lot of contribution that you have written, and I said, Fred, there should be someone I need to contact to extend my network and to exchange about reliability. He's a good guy, I think. So,
yeah.
So I said, let's try, because you know, there are a lot, especially I think in the past, there are a lot of experts. You try to contact them and you get no answer. You know, typically right. You say, hey, I'm interested in your topic. Are you available for a quick exchange? And you got no answer.
Yeah.
But it's different if you get some answers. Say, hey, let's discuss. Let's see if you have something interesting to share.
There's two parts to that, Enrico, and part of it is, I mean, behind why I do it is, one, I do generally like to share what I know, and I've created a Sendo reliability, as a platform so others can do that and quickly find an audience. When we first started it was very, very small audience and very little traffic. But at this point, you know, when you joined it, you immediately had thousands of people that see your work. So it's meant to be that way, for people that want to share what they know and help other people learn. People that want to learn can find it and find stuff that's useful for them. And it's free for all of that. So it was the intent. But the second part of that is, like just this morning, I got a message through LinkedIn saying, hey, do you provide this kind of training? Or if not, do you know somebody that does? And I said, you know, I know somebody that does. It's actually close to where you are. So here's an introduction and go. And what I have found is that the more you share, the more it's not advertising directly. It's content marketing, where you share what you know and make it useful and help people solve problems. And I used to describe it this way. If I help 100 people by sharing an article and something that helps them solve a problem, 10 of them will come back and look for more information and maybe buy a book or take a course or do something like that. And then one of those 100 will say, hey, are you available for consulting? And so it supports the consulting business. And I'm mostly retired, not totally retired. If it's a really interesting project, I'll take it on. But most of the time, I know, I think we're up close to 90 contributors on Ascendo. So I may well know somebody very well that is the right fit for what you're looking for and probably even live close to you. So it's not guaranteed by any means, but it's a way of, overall, it's a way to giving back to the community. Because when I first got started, I had a library, right? I went and found a book on accelerated testing. I saw that Wayne Nelson, the author of that book, was presenting at a conference. So I went to that conference and met him. And we've been friends ever since. We've, you know, I can ask him questions. He checks in with me. How is it going? And it's, I haven't heard from him in about a year. I should probably reach out to him. But he helped me immensely to meet more people, to learn more. And it all circles back to what you were talking about, is the desire to increase your network. And that's a part of professional development that a lot of people skip or minimize for some reason.
Yeah, I think this is an important part, you know. And, you know, in some companies, so I can, of course, understand that for some companies, the competencies also on the methods, so we are developing for reliability, like FMEA, like DRBFM, or like DFR. So these are strategic assets, right? But the company alone are too small, and if you don't get contaminated, let's say, if you don't get, you know, a continuous exchange from other experts all over the world, over the long time, you are losing a lot of opportunities, you know. And I think this is something that a lot of companies don't pay attention too much, because they say we have the expert should solve the problem. Right. But the expert should be, let's say, cultivated over the time. There are a lot of the competence can increase, or even in this, especially in this digital era. And, you know, and it's important to have someone like you, like the other contributors in Ascendo, that they are ready to exchange about novelties in reliability field, how they approach the problem, what are the, what is their experience on certain problem, like, for example, currently facing. It's really important, you know, because otherwise, just looking inside a company, it might not be so, getting to the point where you want to be, right? So I think it's definitely is underestimated what change reliability can do. But in general, what exchanging information with externals can bring to the company where people are generally working eight hours a day.
You know? Right. And it's when I was at Hewlett Packard, my predecessor, Dick Moss, had established an internal email list. And I don't, it's not actually an email list. It was some other version. But if you sent an a listserv, I think it was called, you could subscribe to it. And then you could send a message to it. And what it was set up to do is, let's say you had a question on accelerated testing, and it would go out to all of the subscribers. And the custom or the protocol that we tried to follow on that was, if you have an answer for that, don't respond to everybody. Respond back to the person that asked the question. And then it was on the person that asked the question to summarize the answers and post that back out for everybody else. It was a way to, this was really early on in email being available, even inside the company. And it was a way to prevent us from all getting bombarded with reply all, you know, for 28 times kind of thing. And it worked mostly. And it would be two or three questions a week. And that was going out to about 2,000 engineers across HP. And with my role was managing the list and making sure people got answers. And most of the time they did. Most of the time people on the list would contribute something back. So Ascendo is like that. We don't have a listserv where I should probably set up a question area to you know, ask the experts or something like that. But it's similar in practice, is that instead of asking just a couple thousand people, we can post a question through our newsletter and ask 10,000 people all over the world in all kinds of industries.
Yeah, and that's making Nintendo so rich, you know. And I think the philosophy is behind Nintendo is the right one, to exchange information, not to be so close when talking to other. Of course, some secret cannot be disclosed. That's part of the compliance policy. Yeah, but for a lot of topics, or reliability engineer, an exchange can be beneficial. Can be beneficial for everybody. You know, like talking about accelerating testing, talking about requirements, but also talking how to do trainings. You know, what experience you face by doing training, by implementing design for a bit of the company. You know, they are pretty much always the same question. Yeah, now with AI, we have new ones, but there are a lot of, let's say, 80% of the challenges I'm facing right now, you have already seen it in different companies, or Carl has seen it. You know, it's like it is. You know, it's always industry, always same questions, same problems, and we try to solve innovative way. But you know, knowing, you can learn a lot from mistakes and for success people did in the past. You know, that's definitely something enriching. Yeah.
Yeah, it very much true. And it's one of those things, whether it's LinkedIn or this website, or even if you have your own blog or podcast, it's you get more than you put into it. And none of my work on Ascendo or on our podcast and stuff like that in this show is not monetized. You're not getting a bunch of ads. You know, we don't have banners. We don't have a bunch of stuff like that. I'm trying to avoid, very seriously avoid, making the visitors to the site that are there to learn something, or like you and I there to contribute something, being the product for, you know, the site to make money. If we have 100,000 people visiting the site and we put ads on there, or if I'm on YouTube and I have so many subscribers to a YouTube channel, I can make it, can be monetized and all that stuff. That has never been the objective. The payback is, if you like, I know you work in a appliances company, and if you make a better washing machine and I can buy it and I get great value from it, we all benefit. We have less in the landfill. We got more stuff that works better, on and on and on. But we have people working in oil exploration and solar energy and automobiles and photoelectric systems, on and on and on, medical devices. And imagine this, we send out the newsletter, goes to close to 10,000 people each Sunday. If 1,000 of them learn something, just a little piece that they can use, it makes, you know, makes $1,000 benefit. That adds up real quick. And if one or two of them make the breakthrough that saves their company a couple million dollars, well, prices don't go up, right? It's the cost of creating products goes down. And it just, I see it as, one, I've learned so much from so many other people all through my career. And like you, have not been shy about, hey, I got a question. Maybe you can help me with this.
Yeah.
And then reinforcing that with following up on networking and checking in with people and you know, asking questions and just saying, hey, how's it going? What are you working on today? But you have to put energy into it. It's not the ones I really don't like on LinkedIn is somebody says, hey, I'd like to connect with you. And they're a reliability engineer. Yeah, sure, I'll connect with you. And the very first message is, do you have any work for me? I just got unemployed and it's the only reason I'm on LinkedIn. I said, well, you should have started this, you know, 2 years ago and actually engaged with LinkedIn and contributed articles or answered questions or did something so you were visible so that people get to know you. Then they might help you. If it's out of the cold, I don't know you.
Yeah, that's definitely a problem. And I can underline what you're saying, because you know, people, there are not so many people that or there are a certain number of people that react to the post that you write on Xendo. But mm-hmm. also, I have also an experience on LinkedIn where I post regularly for 1 year, mm-hmm. every week with a certain content, and there were a lot of people that answered and contributed to the mm-hmm. discussion. It was really enjoyable. But there are a lot of people that are reading the content and they do not react because they do not have time and so on. But right. it was like a month ago, I visited a company and the vice president say, I know you because I'm reading your post on LinkedIn, you know. You're, yeah. You say, hey, okay, do you enjoy it? Yeah, it's really, really, really powerful content. So I like what you're writing. So that means you feel you are contributing, right? To the culture in terms of reliability. You are a knowledge as expert. It's something that is a good feeling, you know. It's a good feeling.
It's very satisfying, and it's a resume builder. People, if they know you, they don't need to read your resume. You're not being compared yeah. for the lowest bidder. Yeah. You're the guy. Yeah. You're the one I want to hire.
Yeah,
kind of thing. And it, I was at a conference years ago. Geez, we've been doing this podcast for a long time. And it was a big round table for lunch, right? And you went through a buffet and you just sat wherever. And I'm chatting with the people next to me and a guy across the table says, hey, I know that voice. Do you do a podcast? And so we talked about the podcast a little bit I didn't know the person next to me. We were just chatting and he goes, that looks like a plant. Like, did you mean to advertise your podcast that way? And you're like, oh no, I had no idea. But yeah, you get known. And it's in the hardest part about it, any of the social media stuff, and even supporting the website, is you just got to show up. You know, if you're going to do an article for, like you were doing posts on LinkedIn for a year. And I remember that they were great and beautiful. Well done. Artwork type. I call it artwork. Yeah. It's the way you set up your graphics and stuff. Yeah. But it does take time. It does take energy. And I submit that it pays back, you know, and it's what you talked about at the start was the networking part. You get out of the network what you put into it. And more, I submit, but it does, you have to realize that if it's talking to other people and your peers, and if that's the way you enjoy learning, and if it's a way for you to learn well and with confidence, you got to put energy into it to create those friendships, basically, and bonds yeah. with people so that you can say, hey, I got this problem and I'm trying, is this a good approach? And you get somebody to bounce it off of, you get some, you know, insights from somebody else. If you walk down the street to ask people randomly walking down the street you've never met before, or even at a conference where there are other reliability engineers, the chance that you'll get meaningful feedback is pretty low.
Yeah.
But if you establish
to cultivate, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's the word.
Yeah, yeah, and I think another problem. I don't know if you agree with me on that, because you are a consultant, so it's part of your job to be active on the social media. But for the people being in the company with a regular salary, you know, they are probably afraid of posting, you know, because you know someone is posting, probably is looking for a new job. You know, or you're posting, you are sharing some sensitive information outside of your company. I think these thoughts, they are present in a lot of experts, so they prefer not to get into trouble and say, okay, I don't share anything. You know,
yeah, it varies by company. I know IBM, for their scientists and engineers, they were encouraged to publish and to write technical papers and go to conferences and present and do stuff like that. Whereas Intel was not. They just didn't. No, that's, you don't do that. And it was company specific. Different cultures did it. And at HP, it wasn't banned. It wasn't encouraged to post and publish and stuff like that. But I made the argument that we don't have that many reliability professionals by, you know, by title in the company. And I want to go learn what IBM's doing. I want to go learn what Dell's doing. I want to go learn what, you know, AMD is doing and all these other companies that are at these conferences. And it's an investment. It takes time to build relationships and so on. And my boss at the time, he understood that completely. And he's, and part of my argument was, is in order to advance in the technical career ladder, you had to be somebody that was sought out and for their expertise. And it didn't say within the company, but it was implied that others in the company looked to you to help them solve the real gnarly problems or get advice, or you were the go-to person kind of thing.
Yeah.
As a way to do that. And I says, I can't become that person unless I actually create that expertise. And there's no one in the company here that can teach me that, that has the time to teach me that. But if I have connections with 20 other people in the field that are my seniors and I'm learning from, it doesn't take them very much time. The reliability practice is universal. Doesn't, we're not trading, you know, what kind of chips we're putting on our computers or any other trade secrets or type stuff. And I can advance so much quicker rather than doing it by trial and error. And my boss says, yeah, you know, that makes sense. We can do that.
Yeah, but for all the listener to the podcast, I don't know how is the situation here on the different companies. Are you, do you want to post content on the web, so on LinkedIn or Agenda, but you are afraid of doing that? Are you allowed to do that? How is the situation? Because, you know, I think I agree with you that to become a real expert, you need to be a knowledge as expert beyond the company you're working in, I think. Yeah.
And it used to be books and technical papers. Now it's social media and conferences that you make those network connections.
Yeah, there are plenty of those possibilities, but you should take something, you should participate to the external world, let's say.
Yeah,
not just working in your company. I think this is an important message that I'm not sure that all people agree with that, but I'm convinced that you become richer in terms of culture if you go outside, you know.
That's true. Yeah, one of the things I ran into is the hesitation is, well, if you make a good network, you might get hired away. And it was, somebody framed it this way. And, you know, are you training your employees? Well, if I train them, they'll leave.
Right? Yeah.
Well, what if you don't train them? They stay. You know, so you get what you invest in. And I think the same applies on our, because most of us have to take care of our own careers. And yeah, if a great opportunity comes, you might take it. But if the company is encouraging you to network and you're making strides within your own company, there's more reason to stay, I think. Yeah. So it's, and if somebody's going to leave, they're going to leave anyway, whether you help them network or not. Yeah, it's an important thing is to create that network and exercise it, be helpful back to your network, help other people. Look for those opportunities to do that. And if you really want to contribute reliability related stuff, you know, head over to Ascendo, let us know. We'll get you set up. We're always looking for good content and good contributors. But anyway, good topic, Enrico.
Thank you for the discussion, Fred. Yeah.
So if you've been listening to this and you, either you want to get involved or you think this is a great idea, or if you have some success stories or what kind of barriers you're seeing, let us know. We'd love to help you understand what our experience could help you with, or we could talk about it, or both, on a future episode. Head over to ascendoreliability.com/go/SOR. There's a couple of ways to get in touch with us. And Enrico and I and the other hosts are available through LinkedIn and our About pages. I think some of them are even on Facebook, but I don't know. But there's lots of ways you can get involved and contribute and engage with us at whatever you're comfortable with. And we encourage you to create your network and be part of our larger community of professionals.
Thank you, Fred.
Thanks, Enrico. We'll talk to you again soon. Take care.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation if you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show. Please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.